Taylor, the bastard former member of the Real McKenzies, and you're checking out The Grind on Punk Radio Cast.
This is Liam from Cancer Bats.
And I'm Jay from Cancer Bats.
And you're checking out The Grind
on the Punk Radio Cast.
Hey, what's up? This is Chris, and welcome to Volume 129 of The Grind. This is also our 420 show. And, well, we don't really have anything related to that per se in this volume. It just happens to air on the 20th of April. But I will tell you that we have packed today's show with some awesome music coming from new albums put out by some great Canadian bands. Stacey Steele caught up with Liam and Jay from the Cancer Bats last month in Calgary, and we delayed airing it just long enough to be able to include six tracks off of their Dead Set on Living release, out now on Distort. Stacey's interview will be the second in today's show, and if you're in the UK, then you are of course gearing up to see the Cancer Bats at their series of shows in around there to celebrate Record Store Day. I also recently had a chat with Gord Taylor, former Piper with The Real McKenzies, about their latest album, out now, West Winds. And of course, we will be asking him about the details surrounding his mid-European tour departure from the group earlier this year.
The van door opened and I walked out. I think we were still even moving a little bit, just rolling along at a stoplight.
And more on that in just a bit, but we are also excited to have the broadcast debut of a new song from Toronto's School Damage. They have a self-titled EP coming out soon on My Fingers, My Brain Records, and will be doing some dates on the Atlantic side of Canada on the East Coast Infection Tour, along with Brutal Youth, following their show tonight in Hamilton. Connect online at facebook.com/schooldamage or their label at myfingersmybrain.com. Here is that brand new track from their self-titled EP, out this time next Friday, School Damage with Checking Out. Blaster from another Ontario band there, that was Take Drugs with I Hate the World. Take Drugs is Toronto's newest punk rock sophistication, a five-piece featuring ex-members from Scratching Post, Citizen Kill, Iron League, Hi-Fi, and as you may have heard in the vocals there, the almighty Trigger Happy. They've already shared the stage with that last band, School Damage, as well as Class Assassins, DOA, The Mahones, and CJ Ramone. They are slated to be one of the headliners for the Summer 2012 Guelph Punk Weirdo Reunion Celebration Fest in Guelph, Ontario, July 14th. Also playing there will be the Asexuals, lots of local bands, as well as a legendary punk act, which I believe is going to be announced in just the next few days. You can find out more on that if you're on Twitter by following at 519punk. And you really should check out facebook.com/takedrugsband. We're working on hooking up a chat with these guys, so stay tuned for that in the future. But in the meantime, one more today from Take Drugs. From their Gut Destruction release, this is Be Erased. Alright, we're going to roll right into my conversation with Gord Taylor, former Real McKenzie, and we're going to spin some of their new stuff off of West Winds, available through Fat Records in the States, Stomp Records in Canada, as well as many other digital music distributors around the World Wide Web. The Real McKenzies with I Do What I Want. We'll be right back. Hey, Gord.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad, man. It's Chris from The Grind.
Hey, Chris. What's shaking?
Not too much, man. It's been a long time since we've chatted. How you been?
I think it's been Saskatoon, right? Since Saskatoon.
I believe you are correct.
Yeah. Do you still have a big beard?
No, I am.
Beard brother, what are you doing?
I know. I've been shaming the beard brothers for a while, so. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing okay. You probably heard I quit the band, so that's been sort of a shocker, but... Whatever, trucking along as normal and doing a lot of writing. It sounds like everything's on good terms.
Good stuff. I was gonna ask that. I was gonna ease into that and see if that was territory that we could tread on.
No, let's do it. I think it's important to talk about. I don't think it's a big deal. I think it was some differences that couldn't be reconciled. I broke the cardinal sin, and I feel bad, and I probably will forever that I walked out on the one tour. But I'm afraid it had to be done, and. I don't know what else to say about it, but I think after all the dust settled, I think we started to see each other's situations a little more clearly, and I'm happy to say I'm still friends with folks. And
well, that's good to hear. I know quite often touring like the Real McKenzies do, it is quite easy for everybody involved to get to that point or beyond that point where it's just too much
you know,
stuff's going on.
It is, though, it's that, you know, there's three or four members of that band who have had a long Vancouver history with each other. They got a system in place that, I don't know, it's the Real McKenzies. It's chaos, and it's what they do, and, you know, if you're one of those four guys who's grown up together, then it's, I think it's easy to get along with. But I was always kind of an outsider coming in, and never really fell all the way in, I guess. But like I say, all things are good, and those four guys are continuing to rock on. You probably heard Sean left as well, the drummer.
Yes, I was aware of that as well. But that's sort of the nature of the McKenzies. At times, it's a little bit, you know, it cycles through members and due to touring schedules, attitudes, or anything of the like. But it's good to hear that it was an amicable departure eventually, and that you guys
wasn't at the time. It was hell in the streets of Milan.
Well, I was going to say, I saw some stuff on Facebook, and I wasn't too sure how it all went down, but yeah.
The van door opened, and I walked out. I think we were still even moving a little bit, just rolling along at a stoplight.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, well, it wasn't amicable at the time, but like I say, I think when the dust settled, we were able to better see each other's situations, and there's no point in being kids about it, you know, just because a couple people that can't get along, it doesn't mean that we all don't have, you know, at least a little bit of talent apiece that when we share together, we come up with something good, and that's kind of what happened with West Winds, you know, it was all of us getting our little bits, little shards of talent together, and combining to make something bigger, and you know, regardless of if things get hairy or things get chaotic or things you start yelling at people and people start yelling at you, just plug away in the interest of collective interest.
Well, there you go.
The Blue Nose.
Surfaced and caught, I use a blue nose, anger's quite as great. I'd sink you with torpedoes now if you were not the champ. So get back into the harbor now, I cannot sink your ship, cause you're the screen of Nankerick. She's obsolete in 46, eventually was sold. A freighter in the Caribbean, this was now her home. And laden with bananas as she struck a Haitian shore. Her path was blocked and hopelessly she floundered on the reef. She broke the heart with no relief. She was a champion of the sea. None could best her as a king to be. Old Angus and his crew would break the team. The Blue Nose was the fastest ship, making a mistake. All of us burned in her wake.
So let's talk a little bit about West Winds. That it's the first release since 2008's first studio release since 2008's Off the Leash. Of course, you guys had that live release, that great recording from Berlin, Shine Not Burn, that came out. Did you guys approach this recording differently?
Yeah, I think this was it keeps getting hailed as being the first release in 4 years. I don't think that's its most important thing. I think its most important thing about it is it's maybe one of the Real McKenzie's first albums. I think the first album where a lot of the writing wasn't done chaotically. A lot of the writing wasn't, it wasn't just a band who got a deadline as to when to be in the studio and then work it all out then. It was actually two guys in the band getting together and writing a really great demo, a 15-track demo, and bringing it out to the band and then cutting it down to a more respectable, I think they took 10 tracks from that demo or something like that.
Oh, okay.
I had another couple added on top. So when I listen to it, that's what I hear, is a little bit of pulling together for the greater good, you know, like, screw it, let's not leave this till the last minute, let's get something, let's know what we're doing a little bit and explore some ideas early so that we know which ones are the good ones when we get in there. And yeah, I think it turned out pretty good. We put a lot of time into sequencing it, put a lot of thought into, well, we did a song called The Tempest, for example, and I think our inspiration for doing that came from that that Stan Rogers tune we did so much for two or three years. We were singing Barrett's Privateers, and you know, we decided to write our own damn a cappella song.
Yeah.
So I mean, there was inspiration drawn from a long list of Canadian content as well as Scottish content. That Massacre at Glencoe we put on that's always been a pretty powerful tune overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else can I tell you? Go buy it. Sounds good.
Yeah, definitely. I will be quite upfront and honest. I haven't listened to the whole thing yet. I've been able to listen to a few tracks here and there, but what I've heard has not disappointed me at all. And just trolling around on the old interwebs, I'm seeing a lot of good response from, of course, McKenzie fans of the past. And looks like you guys are garnering some more interest from new fans who are maybe just getting into the Real McKenzies and what they do.
Yeah.
There's no apologies required for that at all.
I'm glad to hear you bought it, though. I'm glad to hear you got it and you're working your way through it. I do recommend starting it at the start and going all the way to the end. You can probably turn the pipe solo down a little bit. No offense to it. It's a lovely tune, but it goes on a little long. That was actually a piece of music that the guy who taught me bagpipes, he just died like a week ago.
Oh, okay.
90. I think he taught about 5,000 kids in Winnipeg how to play the bagpipes. He never charged them a dime.
Wow. Know?
Yeah, he was a prince. And anyway, he wrote that for his wife who passed away. And it's called Lament, you know, like it's to think about your loved ones. And I played that because I kind of wanted to say thanks to him, and I kind of wanted to play something raw in the bagpipes. I really want to do another Taylor Made. Matt did that Taylor Made track.
And, mm-hmm.
We really haven't been able to duplicate it again, but I'd like to give it another kick in the cat.
I'm going
to
put you on the spot here. What if you had to pick a track off this that you would be all right listening to for, say, a week straight, what one would that be?
I hate to say it, but I think the tracks that I tend to pick are my favorite. When I listen to the album, I skip the ones that other guys did. I don't know if I'm being a dick or what, but I just seem to really like how the ones I wrote turned out. Well, I mean, that's not true. I think I would take a first. Oh man, that's hard. Probably take a first pick of I Do What I Want. That's going to be my top favorite. But I think my second favorite is Dirty Gird song, The Message.
It's
Yeah, I like the way that one turned out. We actually did that in three different languages.
Very cool. Yeah, you guys are not to be considered just an Anglo or Scottish-Canadian band. You guys are essentially international, the McKenzies are, with the amount of touring and just fan bases all over the place. Of course, almost a second home in Germany there.
You know what? And it's all in the demeanor, too. Like, yeah, we definitely feel like that. Paul is pretty amazing when it comes down to speaking all kinds of different languages, saying thank you in I don't know how many languages the guys know. I remember what I was going to say before. I forget the term you used, but you were talking about members coming in and out. And, you know, I think the Real McKenzies has really turned into this 20-year Canadian presence, regardless of who's playing in it and what's going on. It just seems to forever pop up, and they always will put the members together to play the tunes that are the real. It's almost like it's I don't know what to say. It's I don't think it's a big deal the amount of revolving band members over the years or in the years to come. I think that if that's the way the Real McKenzies stay alive, then that's the way they got to do it. And it's always, I don't know, old McKenzies members. They're not really ex members. They're all like, we're all in the McKenzies, I think. We're,
yeah.
No,
well, one of the things that I always enjoy about catching you guys live when I see them is always, okay, who is with the group this time on this tour? And it's always a surprise and always always a good time when you guys get up on stage. A Spanish bagpiper, hey?
Yeah, actually, I think I'm going to piss him off if I say this wrong. His name is Aspie. He's a really great guy. And I think he plays Galician pipes.
Okay.
You got to be careful mixing all those territories up, Basque and Galicia and Catalonia. I don't know. I'm almost certain they look like Galician pipes. He played them on the last tour. And they didn't really fit in because they weren't really, great Highland pipes like the Real McKenzie should have. I heard that he bought a set of Great Highlands, and if it's going to be him, he'll be doing the piping.
That sounds pretty interesting. I'll have to investigate that a little bit further. Anything else you want to talk about regarding the album? You guys recorded that in Nanton, Alberta, right?
Yeah, man.
How did that come to be?
It was, I'm not sure. I think it was management. I think it was Stomp Management of Montreal who came up with this guy's name, Steve Lurie, and he turned out to be a hell of a guy. Like, we asked him to produce it as well, and he really put some good decisions together, and we're all really happy with him. In fact, we're recommending him for a Juno on that album this year.
Nice.
Yeah, it's either a Juno, I'm not sure what award it is. I got like five sets of awards that I know are being applied for West Winds, but one or more of them is definitely for Steve. He did a fantastic job.
Very cool. So sort of one of those just diamonds in the rough. You guys were, you know, he wasn't on your radar at all, and then after the experience, just something that you guys will be going back for potentially in the future.
I'm not sure. There's different schools of thought on that. Like one guy might say, yeah, let's go back because he put out a great record, but another guy might say, you know, it's really smart to go to different studios because you do get little different nuances and different ideas. And I think I prefer that school of thought. It would be nothing against Steve. It would just be in the interest of trying something new all the time and keeping things fresh. I think I'd be interested in going somewhere else.
Now, if folks are looking to find this album or connect with the Real McKenzies, what's the best place to do that?
You can find it everywhere. In fact, there's a new video coming out too. Well, talk about that in a sec, I guess. But you can find it on iTunes. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it on YouTube. I think you can damn near get through the whole CD on YouTube. But yeah, listen to it and see if you like it, and then come and buy it because we need the money.
So you were mentioning a video. What song is that for?
I think it's for My Luck Is So Bad. I walked out of the band on like January 12th, and I think on the 16th there was Scott was recording it with Robbie Davidson, the guy who did the Drink Some More video.
Confession early today. They took just one look and they turned me away. I didn't let in my spirits in some other way. But why, tell me, God, did things happen this way? My luck is so bad it can only get better than
my worst. So bad it can only get better.
My dog's gone astray and my cat doesn't mouse. The neighbor is hung in a tree by his house. My tires have been slashed and my battery's flat. But please tell me why, tell me what's up with that. My luck is so bad it can only get better than
worse. So bad it can only get better.
Yes, my luck is so bad it can only get better than worse.
So bad it can only get better.
Got a call from my wife who's just filed for divorce. She's taking the
cash, the house and my horse, and the government says I owe lots of that tax. Now tell me, how can it get worse than that? My luck is so bad it can only get better than worse.
My luck is so bad it can only get better.
Yes, my luck is so bad it can only get better than
my luck
worse.
My luck is so bad it can only get better
than worse. Why is my luck so bad? Blame my heavenly dad, and I hope to someday sally forth from this month, till that day I shall pray for complete change of luck. My luck is so bad it can only get better than
my
worse.
My luck is so bad it can only get better.
Now my shoes are all tattered, I've trudged a long mile, I stepped in a puddle and I fell in a pile. Well, I wouldn't lash out, but I'm just gonna smile while I wait for
You're not biased in any way, are you?
Well, I'm in one of them and I'm not in the other. So, really.
You're telling me that the video that you're not in and the songs you didn't play on aren't your favorite ones, huh?
and then I tell you in the same breath, we all get along.
I'm just bugging you, man. No, I think it's very cool that what's happened has happened, but that you guys are you know, you took a step back and you all kind of realized where you were variously coming from with that departure at the start of the year.
You know what else too? It went back to a really natural spot because for 5 years before I started touring with the McKenzies, that was sort of my position. I was in the background. I've been a member of that family for, I don't know, like 10 years or something. Just, you know, not really in the front ranks. So no, it kind of just moved back to a natural position. I'll keep doing my thing over here and not get in anybody's way and keep my problems to myself. That sort of thing. I should have said keep my addictions to myself. That's really what fired up the whole thing.
But, you got to share those addictions. You got to share them, man.
Pesky addictions.
No, I think that's a great description, though, the family term around Real McKenzies, because really that's kind of the vibe you get as a fan. You check out a show and you walk away and you definitely feel like you just witnessed something.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And you know what the nice thing about that feeling is that that's the same feeling whether you're playing bagpipes or guitar or singing in the band, or whether you're watching as a fan or meet the band afterward, or put the band up in your house and have them stay over and feed them. You're the same member of that family. You know, anybody who interacts with that band, it's such a, they're so good at just opening their arms and welcoming you in, and you're their best friend. They'll start fucking talking about their taxes and stuff with you, it's a wonderful feeling. And I never felt that I lost that, and I still don't feel that I lost that. And yeah, you're absolutely right. That's the reason to go to a Real McKenzies show is it's, I don't know, it's like you're singled out. It's like you're important.
Very well said.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else you want to get out there before we wrap it up on you today? Any other projects perhaps that you're working on that you'd like to promote?
Yeah, I'm going to plug myself. I'm working with a guy named Ilko Lammers. He took lots of photographs for the Real McKenzies. You can catch his photographs online, but he and I have been buddies for about 15 years, and we're going to do a little bit of punk folky stuff as well. I'm really not shooting for anything Scottish folk. I really don't want to duplicate the efforts of the McKenzies, and I think there's only one McKenzies anyway, so you can't really do that. I think I'm going to play some bagpipes in it because that was my first instrument. That's my primary instrument.
Now, you're cutting off a little bit here on the connection.
What did you miss for a sec? Did you miss anything good from that Ilko and Gord project? Because that's going to be pretty good. We're doing a bunch of folk songs, too. I got one called Canada, I Think You're Kind of Gay. And I got Up on a Motorbike. That's my Gordon Lightfoot song. So, yeah, I just wanted to make sure that didn't cut out. It's good. Me and Ilko are going to put out a pretty decent record of thoughts at the end. I think it's going to be around Christmas.
Very cool. Now, sorry, who was that you're working with?
it's my buddy Yoko. You're a Real McKenzie fan, known from pictures. He took Dynamite pictures of the band. He's been around, hanging around with the band for, I don't know, probably 5 or even 6 years. But he and I had a long-standing friendship. Before the ship, when we were like 18 or 19, I think, we met in Glasgow. And we're gonna put together a little project, and hopefully it goes over okay.
Sweet. We definitely have that on record now. Leaving off here on this interview, before we get on with some more stuff here on The Grind, what song off of West Winds do you want to spin?
I'd like you to spin the Fool's Road.
Fool's Road. This is The Real McKenzie. Is coming off their new album released at the end of March, West Winds. Thank you very much, Gord Taylor.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for spinning the tune. And check out the rest of the album. Try to listen to it front to back and see what you think. Because a lot of effort went into sequencing it as a nice package. You know, you go and buy this box of goodies type of thing. So I wish you good luck and let me know what you think.
On the wall, tearing the posters down. Institution of a life confusing and the blood all over the stage. Down into the pit with the sweat and the streets and the bone is starting to rage. We don't care who you think we are. And if you can't stand up to the way, then you better get out of the way. Come on, sing when he breaks a string and he's bringing the rah-rah down. An American bass, a mic in the face. A sort of noise and a world of sound. Wondering like a mother tuning up another guitar he doesn't hold. With a bad reputation all across the nation, and we're never quite at home. We don't care who you think we are. Hearts will call us to the grave. We don't care who you think we are. And if you can't stand up to the way, then you better get.
Wrapping up my conversation with Mr. Taylor. I was going to run some From the Mailbox features here, but I think we'll be fitting those into the shows in the coming weeks instead. But I will give you a taste from one of those bands, some thrash metal from Sicily, Italy, Amethyst. This one is coming off of their latest album from last year entitled Time of Slaughters. Right here on The Grind PRC, this is Amethyst, Attitude to Aggression.
Hey, man!
What?
I fucking yanked you!
I'm
That is some sick stuff. Looking forward to spinning more of those guys in the future. You can check out more on them online by searching Emma Thirst Thrash Metal. And with that track, we are transitioning to the heavier side of today's show. I hope you're ready for our Cancer Bats interview feature. New album out from these guys right now, Dead Set on Living. And off that, this is Bricks and Mortar.
Checking out the Grind PRC, this is Stacey Steele. Tonight I'm in Calgary and I'm talking to a couple of members of Cancer Bats. I'm talking to Jay and Liam. How are you guys tonight?
Doing good.
You guys did an all-ages set earlier today in Calgary at the same venue at Broken City. How was that?
That was rad. Yeah, we had a nice like little afternoon hardcore matinee. Mm-hmm. It was cool because there's lots of young kids that were really bummed that we were only doing a bar show. So I was stoked that that got to work out in the end. But yeah, it was rad. There was lots of like older guys too who came to like just drink beers and hang out. And it worked out because there's a bunch of dudes who like work at bars around here, you know, and we're like, oh,
work on a Saturday night.
Yeah,
like the show.
They wouldn't have been able to come to the show.
But that's always handy for a bar staff, especially on a Saturday, because 9 times out of 10, they usually work in the night.
Yeah, exactly.
So we put on a treat for them and the kids as well, and have a good old time, I guess. So, you guys just started your tour through Canada last week with Touche Amore and A Sight for Sewn Eyes through Canada. How's the tour been so far? You guys have played a few dates.
It's been really, like, really, really good so far.
Yeah. All the shows have been awesome. We've gone back to some places we've played before and had them be busier, or in like a lot of cases we've played like cool new venues. We tried to pick a lot of like smaller kind of punk rock spots because the record's not out, to kind of like, you know, have some like fun small like sweaty shows to play some new songs and like kind of hype things up. So
warm the crowd up for the next time you guys come around, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. I heard in Vancouver you ran into Chai Pig, is that right?
Not on this tour,
not
unless
this
you
one?
Guys did.
Is it the last
no,
one?
No, I didn't.
We normally do.
Okay.
He's just hanging around.
Last time.
I saw him at the rickshaw. He kind of stumbled out of a dumpster.
Yeah, I think there was another interview. I think it was recorded with you, and
that's when I heard him.
And I was like, oh, get the fuck out. So.
Chai Pig.
Oh, yeah, where he was
being
like
hilarious.
Walking by just yelling.
He's like, cancer bats are gay.
Yeah. No, he was. Oh, I forget what he was saying. He was like, oh, because I was like, oh, yeah, this Chai Pig. And I was like, SNFU. And he's like, you're blowing smoke up my ass. And he, like, kept trying to, like, take down his pants and like, get me to actually. Or no, he wanted to blow, like, literally smoke. Blow smoke into our asses. And this kid who was doing the interview, I think, was, like, really freaked out.
That's good stuff. The tour is in support of your upcoming release, Dead Set on Living, DSOL, released in April. This is your fourth studio album, born out of an event that affected you guys. You had to deal with certain things that happened, but appreciate what you have now in the process. So is that basically what the entire album is kind of about, or are there...
Yeah, I think a lot of it was, like, time and place around just, like, what was going on that summer and kind of, like, what I was thinking at the time. It was sort of, like, just writing a record about all of the events and kind of letting that like shape like what was going on. So I mean, there are songs like specifically like Dead Set on Living, and then, you know, songs like The Void or like Old Blood or Rats, like we're all very specific, but then at the same time, like Breathe Armageddon was just like what I was thinking about at the time, or you know, Drunken Physics is like us just kind of like reminiscing about like the year of touring that we had just done. So it's like, well, you know, lots of those different ideas.
Don't even get me started on life.
What's your favorite song to play live off the new album, since you guys have played a few dates?
Yeah, we've been kind of changing up and playing a bunch. It's like, I don't know, playing Rats is really fun.
I really like playing, Breathe Armageddon.
Yeah, Breathe Armageddon.
I heard only a small sample of it. I haven't actually heard the whole thing, but I really like it, and I kind of hope you play it tonight, so...
Yeah, tonight we're going to play, I think, New World Alliance, and what was the other one we picked? I think we might play Rats. I can't even remember. We tried to do two completely different sets for this show, tonight versus the afternoon show, because I know there's kids that are going to both, so... Try to change it up. So now I'm trying to, I can't remember.
No, we're playing Bricks and Mortar.
Oh, yeah, we're going to play Bricks and Mortar. Yeah. That song's a banger, too. I really like this record, the fact that we can play everything off of it live.
Yeah.
So we've had a lot of fun, like, really changing up all the songs and like, trying different stuff.
Yeah.
So far on this tour, we've played everything except for four songs out of the 11. So, yeah.
Mid-April, you're heading back to the UK, one of your favorite places, and on Record Store Day doing a 6-show, 5-venue run in London that happens to be in the shape of a pentagram on the tour poster. I understand that your manager sort of took it upon himself to set this up for you guys. Have you played any of the venues before that you're going to be playing at?
Yeah, we've played most of the venues already, and that was like our reasoning. Same with kind of like wanting to play smaller venues on this tour. Like we wanted to do more smaller, like crazy punk shows for the record release in London. But it was our booking agent who came up with it. It's like, oh, you want to play all these small venues? Like, why don't we play as many venues as you can in one day? And then that way, it's nice because it's not as exclusive. Like, you know, if we were to play one 200 cap show, there'd be like a lot of bummed out kids. So now it's like we've kind of figured out a way to include everyone and still make it work. So.
Have you had messages or posts where... some of the kids are going to follow you to every single venue that
Yeah, there's definitely kids that have tickets to every show, that'll be cool. So that's, again, like, we've got to come up with, like, different set lists for the whole thing.
I like that. A band does something a little different out of the ordinary, and I think that's a really cool idea, especially in London.
And it's kind of forced us to go back and, like, relearn songs that we haven't played in, like, a super long time and, like, get kids stoked on things that way as well.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we've never even seen you play that song live.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, stuff off of Birthing that, like, we toured, you know, the hell out of it in Canada, but I think a lot of kids, like, maybe didn't know about the band, so they never got to see it in the UK.
What's the most shows you've ever played in one day before?
Like normally it's three. Like, we usually will do three in 24 hours. We've done that a lot.
Yeah.
But, like, we always have to load out, and usually we have to fly or drive to, like, make it work. And that's kind of the most tiring part. So the fact that we don't have to load out, I think, is going to make these shows a lot easier.
Is a lot of the equipment going to be there for you?
Yeah, because we're playing with all friends, so we're just going to share. Yeah, just going to share all the
equipment. It's always nice, eh? Always nice. You guys are heading out as well to Europe in May with Every Time I Die, Make Do and Mend, and Set Your Goals, as well as playing a handful of festival dates. Tell us more on that.
Yeah, busy summer, a lot of Europe.
You guys are killing us here.
Trying to just tour hard.
It's kind of a great time of year to be in Europe too, like when it's all festival season.
Yeah, the weather's really nice and festivals are super fun. Like, you get to see lots of friends and just hanging out.
You get to
see a lot of bands we don't normally get to see.
Yeah,
so.
All in one spot.
Yeah, especially for us, because we like a lot of different bands, so it'll be rad to, you know, see, like, when we played in Norway, we got to see Licky Lee, and, like, you know...
Off.
Yeah, and just, like, it's all such a mixed bill, so it makes for such a fun day.
Absolutely.
Let's blaze two bangers from the Bats. This is Old Blood.
Got it!
You recently released two videos from DSOL, Old Blood and Road Sick. Who came up with the idea for these videos? And why did you guys pick those tracks off the album?
Kind of everyone just like thought those were bangers. I mean, Old Blood is such like a party jam that I think kind of sums up what we're doing with the record the best. Like the fact that it sounds like a mix of all three records all in one. I think that song specifically like still sounds like Birthing mixed with Hail, mixed with Bears, and has such a good vibe about it. So that was like the whole thinking with that. And then Roadsick, we were just super psyched on and thought it was like a cool song. And we had the idea for the video, like even when we were doing the demos, we were like joking about like how we could make a video for that song.
So. Make characters out
of it. It was kind of like the, it fit like the
theme. Really hone our acting chops.
Yeah. Felt good?
Yeah, I felt like it fit the theme of what the whole song was
about.
So to kind of drive home that a little bit more.
Is the song, when I listen to it, is about when you're on the road so much, you're sick for it, like you love it so much. You get homesick, but as soon as you're home for a little bit, you think, no, I'm sick for the road, I have to be back on it? Or is it the opposite?
It's kind of the opposite, but more the perspective was like for all those other people that, you know, will listen to this song who are going through that as well. So that, you know, they're not on tour with their band, but they are away from their loved ones or like, doing their thing. And it's like, they love it. Like that's what their life is.
Yeah.
But it's like, at the same time, you still have that person that's home that you're missing.
Awesome. You have some guests as well on DSOL, same as the previous record. And I think in Before That You Did Too as well.
We didn't have any, but Hail and Birthing we did.
That's right. You guys had Des from Devil Driver, who you toured with last year, saw you guys play. From the tracks that I've heard off the album, it's a lot heavier and rips a lot more than the Mirrors, Scraps and Bones did, just from my opinion perspective.
Yeah.
How do you find it a little bit different, as well as the collaborations with the people that you have on this one?
I mean, yeah, I was super stoked to have like different people singing on it. Like you said, we met Des and he was such a rad dude, and we have a song, you know, like Bastards, that was sounding so metal, but it's also about like, you know, people of all kind of different genres of music being driven by the same idea. So that was also where the idea of getting Kate from Ann Horse to sing on that track too. But yeah, I was really psyched on how it turned out. And then getting Robert Minotti from Sacrifice was another cool like side too, because he and our producer Eric had worked together on like Sacrifice records way back in the day. So it was cool to have him involved as well, because he was like, oh, you guys remind me of Sacrifice. Like where we were at recording this record was what
where they were
saying
at the time.
Yeah, at the time. So he recorded our album the same way that he recorded the Sacrifice record. So it was cool to have that sort of parallel there.
Absolutely. Sacrifice are a great Canadian metal band as well. So.
Yeah, for anyone.
Those who don't know.
Like War on Music, label out of Winnipeg, are like reissuing all those old Sacrifice LPs.
Yeah.
Like, seems like they're getting, you know.
And they
a lot
did a split with Propaganda last year as well.
So there's lots of cool stuff like that. But I think a lot of people don't even realize, like, because they're on Metal Blade, a lot of people don't realize that they're from Toronto. So it's cool to have that aspect as well.
So 8 years and 4 albums in, you have progressed as a band. You guys have played a more metal tour previously through other countries, and with DSOL being a bit more heavily driven, you're sticking to your punk rock roots and hardcore elements. Has this opened opportunities for you on a new level, being progressive in your experience, because you're very progressive as a band? What do you want your next progressive challenge as a band to be like? It's a big long question.
It took me a while to think that one out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think like the band's always been pretty all over the place in terms of stylistically, and I almost like think in a lot of ways like we've just kind of gotten the recording down pat, because like, I think like there's nobody that listens to this new record that who's seen us live who thinks that it's, you know, any heavier or that, you know, anything off Hail was any less. Because I think in a lot of ways it takes a certain degree of like figuring out to like capture that kind of heaviness. Like we've always been a super gnarly band, I find, and I think it takes people by surprise, and now we have an album that like really
gets
that point across, and like where everything is very well represented between like drums, bass and guitar.
Go!
We definitely had a moment when we were writing this record too, where we kind of said to ourselves, like, we're not like afraid to try other things, like bringing in other elements into our songs, because we kind of know at the end of the day, it's still going to sound like this band.
It's just gonna sound like Cancer Rats,
no matter what we really do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like, just getting to like slide a little of this and a little of that into just kind of make it a little more interesting to us and like not so repetitious for like the people that are listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we never want to record the same album twice. Mm-hmm. But it is that idea that like, yeah, we still, it's not like all of a sudden we're using synthesizers or mics, like
right.
bought a really tiny drum kit. It's like if we were to play, you know, it's like even when we play like Sabotage or Bad Sabbath or whatever, it still sounds like Cancer Bats because it's the four of us playing it and mm-hmm. it's running through all of our gear. So it's kind of like recognizing that at this point for us, it's just like, well, yeah, we could do a bunch of punk songs and they're still going to sound like,
you put your interpretation.
Yeah,
song.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it makes total sense.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's cool. What is it like being in Cancer Bats now compared to when you first started? Do you find it's harder now or back when you guys first began as young kids?
I mean, I definitely like, I don't want to say it's like easier now, because like we still like work just as hard, but it's definitely nice to have that like, that recognition. Like, we've always been really lucky, like coming on tours and having, you know, like people come out to shows and being stoked, and word of mouth really helped us a lot. But to have that still like going, like where we can come back to Vancouver and play, mm-hmm. you know, like our biggest headline show, and you know, like just like how that's like kind of come up. It's like, now I know confidently like all these cities are going to be the best. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I have to be worried about a tour. Like, oh, I hope, you know,
hope people come.
Or you see that like, you know, in Toronto, like Lucero is playing the same night as us. And we're like, oh, I don't know. And now like our show sold out. So I'm like, okay, yeah. We're going to be okay. It's nice to not have like some of those worries. But I think it's just rad that we've been able to like hang on to as many fans like from the start, and mm-hmm. people have kind of grown with the band too. So I think that also gives us that confidence that like, I know all the people that are coming to the show in Calgary. Like, I know all the people that were at the show last night in Edmonton. Like, mm-hmm. I know they're going to come because we talked last time and they're like, I can't wait for you guys to come back. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to have that relationship. I find that makes things a lot.
Feels good to see familiar faces. Like,
yeah.
As well.
And especially to have like a real crew of them. And mm-hmm. it's like, oh, the kids from like, the Red Deer kids came. And like, they're all
are you guys
party.
Playing Red Deer this time?
No,
you're not.
No,
and you
not
got your shows there are legendary.
Yeah, so that's like, it was
we
rad
love
to
going
see.
There for sure.
Just do one off one day. Just come on out.
Yeah. I think we'll try and do something like that down the line, but.
Yeah, that'd be pretty awesome. What's one of the most memorable live shows you played?
I don't know, I'm trying to think. I always think about that show, that basement show we played in Leeds.
That's still like top five favorite moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was like we played like a bigger show with Funeral for a Friend in Leeds at like the college or something like that.
Yeah, it was like a big show.
And it was a great show. And we have a lot of friends in Leeds, and these friends of ours were like, afterwards, like, come play our basement, like our band's gonna play and like another band's gonna play, and you guys just show up, use all our gear, just rip it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like mandatory shirts off.
Yeah, it was like just a packed little basement and
swale
like,
basement.
It was so
maybe 30 people packed into this.
Yeah, there's no way awesome. That we could fit more people inside of this room. And yeah, everyone had their shirts off, like it was so hot. And there was like people spilling out into the like hallway. Like there was probably 100 people in the house, but like there was only a rotating of like 30 people at a time who could come in and get crazy. So yeah, that show was really fun. Definitely
get
like,
there quick or you might lose out, right?
Yeah. Or it was like somebody would start like they was too hot and they were too wasted, so they'd have to bail, so like then someone else could get to come in.
Yeah
it was really fun.
That's awesome. One of my last questions, you spoke that DSOL stands for dedication to life as at its fullest, an establishment of a good time, a line drawn in the sand against bullshit, and always trusting your vibe. You guys believe in that 100%?
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool.
Especially after like this last like year and everything that we've kind of like gone mm-hmm. through and stuff like that, we're like, oh yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Especially being like, I find like now where we're at as a band, like kind of just being like, yeah, we're dead set on living in mm-hmm. terms of just like doing this band, doing what we want. Yeah, not getting caught up in anything that we shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, your album is released on the 17th of April in Canada, and it is released everywhere, I take it?
Yeah, everywhere that still sells CDs.
Yeah.
We'll have it. And
probably iTunes, all that?
Yeah, iTunes will have it. You can check Team Distort. You can buy it straight from the label, which is, I think, the best place to buy it.
Distort?
Yeah,
it's
if you want to get
great
it.
Great website.
Yeah, if you want to get, like, a digital side, Team Distort has highest quality MP3s.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure speaking with you gentlemen this evening.
Thanks.
Have a great show tonight, and have a safe rest of the tour.
Right on.
Thank you.
And that's where we're going to leave it for Volume 129. One last Cancer Bat song before we close it all down. New World Alliance.